I guess I'll have you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I dealt last Sunday with talking about thinking. Now, thinking is so important, how we think, what we think. Then I dealt Wednesday with talking about time and talked about due season, a specific time. And the word means not only a specific time, but a specific time for you. It literally has the idea of private. And I mentioned about going to the doctor and they call other people's names, but then your name's called. That's your time. That's due season. I want to look again at talking about time and look at the words for a season. Begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I'll tell you right now, I like those verses. I didn't have a bit of trouble reading those verses. I kind of smiled inside when I did. Talking about a reservation, a place in heaven reserved for me. I'm telling you, that makes me smile good. And the fact that on the way I'm kept by his power, I like that real good. But there's another verse. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, though now for a season. We're talking about time. If need be, our Father knows what we need. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials or burdens or pressures. All of a sudden, a little bit of my smile got wiped out. Because he says, though now for a season. I want to look at those words. If I get time, I got some other places to go to. We'll see what happens. For a season. Thank the Lord. Those words mean temporary. Because it's talking about heaviness and trials and temptations, burdens, heartaches, tears. And he says, it's something that is needed. It is something that is necessary. It is something that is sent, not from the devil, not from your enemy, not from the mean boss, but from God. It comes because he knows we need it, and we do. For in those trials and burdens, that heaviness, that pressure, those problems, those things we wish would never show up at our door, through those things he is working something good and godly in us, at least attempting to. How we respond to them determines how much good and how much godliness is worked in our lives. But I go back to my fault. Thank the Lord. He says it is for a season. It is something that is temporary. The word heaviness literally means distress. It is something that makes you sad. The word temptations here is not the working of us to do evil, but the word trials, like James mentions. It means something that is difficult, something that is hard. And he also uses the word manifold. Well, now, why could he not just let it alone and said trials or temptations? That's bad enough. But he says manifold. Many trials, many problems. You know what that's called? It's called life. Life is full of problems. The Bible says that there are problems like the sparks that fly upward. They are numerous. There's many sparks that fly off the campfire. They are noticeable. In the dark night, those sparks are so evident. And our problems and our trials, if we allow them to be, will be the thing we focus on, the thing we're centered on, instead of God's goodness. He says for a season, there's going to be these kind of trials and problems. Job said, yet a man is born unto trouble as these sparks fly upward. That's just called life. Since Adam and Eve sinned and the curse on this world came into reality and the curse on our bodies became a truth, we just as well accept the fact there's going to be problems. But what we're talking about here is unique, because it's not talking about problems in general that everybody in the world goes through. It's talking about problems that the child of God goes through. And that's different, because there are some unique problems. There is some unusual, specific pressure that the child of God goes through that the person out there in the bar doesn't, or the person in the red light district, or the person in the corner office doesn't. This kind of problem, this kind of burden, this kind of load is unique for the believer, for it is God working in that believer to accomplish something good and godly. I'm talking about for a season. These problems are, thank the Lord, temporary. Notice, a season means, listen, here's what the word means. Puny. It is something small. Well, now, wait a minute. Are we looking at the same experience of my life and yours? I got a confession. The problems I face and the burdens I go through and the pressure I face, I would not call puny. It seems awful big to me. Oh, but he says it's something puny. Is something small. It's something that should not even be significant in your life. You should not put it up at the rank of that's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. It is something small. It is something that is brief. Paul worded it like this, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, I'm talking about the brother Paul. I'm not talking about Rick Shoemaker. I'm talking about Paul said, our affliction is light. Wait a minute, Paul. Have you forgotten what you have gone through? You are the man who have been whipped, you have been in prison, you have been accounted as the dead at least once. You have perils of the robbers, perils of this, perils of that. You have had to be let down by the wall in a basket one time to escape death. You have suffered tremendously. I use a word big, use a word little and light. He said it's a light affliction. He does use the word affliction, but he does not stop there. He says it's just for a moment. A moment. What he is doing is what I want us to do this morning. He is comparing the light problems that really are big problems with the glory of the rewards of heaven. And when you compare the glory of the rewards of heaven to the problems we face, and they all of a sudden become light and little. He is comparing the moment the instant, the of the problems we face to all of eternity with no end, with no problem, with no tears, with no trials, with no heartaches, with no sorrow, with no sickness. He's comparing eternity to now, to this moment. And even if you make that moment your entire life, Brother Roy was very unique, 101 years. And you compare 101, by the way, 101 years makes me so tired, I need to sit down. I got news for you, 71 years have made me so tired, I want to sit down. But 101 years, which is very unusual to us, seems like a long time compared to eternity. It's short. It's nothing. And Paul says, that's why I call it light, and that's why I call it short, because I'm looking toward eternity. It is for a season. It is for a moment. It is a blimp on the radar screen of life. He says it is for a moment. It is small. That's why we can read verses like this in Acts 5:41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They had been mistreated because they preached the word of God, because they walked around telling people about Jesus. They were whipped. They were mistreated. They went away rejoicing. And the next verses after that tells us they went right back into the temple and preached again and taught again, because they realized this is a light, short, little time. It's for a season. There's a season connected. I guess I could say it like this. The problems connected with serving. The problems we have that are connected with us serving God are so small and so short compared to the rewards of heaven. Could I look again? I want you to turn with me. I hope I don't lose you too much. Hebrews 11. I'm talking this morning about time. I'm looking at the Bible on three occasions. If I get to it, you ain't listening very fast this morning, so it's taken me a while. Talking about hopefully three different times where the words "for a season" is found in the New Testament. The first we talked about, the problems connected to serving. Look in verse 24 of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Let me get turned to it here. 24. Listen to these words. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Oh no, there's another word. Sound like what we mentioned a minute ago. With the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For a season. Not only do I want to deal with the problems connected to serving, but I want to deal with the pleasures connected to sin. And this Bible says that the pleasure connected with sin is for a season. It is brief. It is short. It doesn't last long. And it's like cotton candy. I never have been thrilled with cotton candy, because about the time you taste it, it's gone. I mean, you can't even get to taste it before it disappears. And this Bible says that's what sin's like. Oh, there's pleasure in sin. If there wasn't pleasure, we wouldn't do it. If sin always hurt us, always made us unhappy, nothing good about it, no pleasure, no delight, no fun, no thrill, no good feeling, we would never do it. Nobody else would, but there's pleasure in sin for a season. And that's why so many times we have to battle with sin. That's why so many times in this world, sin is so predominant in the lives of people. He's called it the pleasures of sin. I had to look at the word up. Pleasures. The Greek word translated pleasures found only two times in the Bible. I love the Bible. Man, I'm telling you what, I love the Bible. I like how God does things. Two times in the Bible do we find this word pleasures. Here, which talks about the pleasure of sin, and also in 1 Timothy 6:17, where the end of it says, the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It's translated enjoy there. Did you notice what the Bible does? He takes this one word, pleasure, enjoy, and compares it from one extreme to the other to make a point. In the verse we read in Hebrews, it talks about the pleasure of sin. And what we just read there talks the pleasures of joy and delight of walking with God. And that's why the Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season. Not just that it's short, but the pleasure you can get from sin is nothing compared to the pleasure you can get with walking with God. The joy and the peace and the contentment and the power and the communion. Oh, and like Gail just sang, there's peace in the presence of God. Oh, I thought about that's true. I'm telling you what, I've fallen on my face so many times, and in the arms of God got pleasure restored. And it says in that verse, gives us richly all things to enjoy pleasure. But the pleasures of sin are temporary. The pleasures of sin are costly. The pleasures of sin don't last. Ask the fellow that just woke up with the hangover, that doesn't even remember the night before. All he knows is he sure did have a good time. Ask the person who just heard from the doctor, I'm sorry, it's AIDS. I'm sorry, it's a disease. And you got it from pleasure. Ask them if it's not costly. Sin costs. There's a pleasure in it, but it's costly and it's temporary. It doesn't last long. You got to get another fix. You got to buy another bottle. You got to get another needle. You got to get another partner. Sin doesn't last long. It doesn't satisfy. It is for a season. And it says there that Moses got to looking at this. And he said, I can either walk with my God and walk with my family, or I can turn to the pleasures of sin with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was the king. And Moses would have had it made. In fact, he did have it made until he made the decision to walk away from it, walk away from the pleasure of sin for a season that he might walk with his God. I'm talking about a man could have had the power of the world at his hand, had prosperity rolling out his ears, had power, prestige, popularity, could have had it all. But he saw it was temporary and it was fleeting. So he chose to walk with his family, walk away from Egypt, walked into the Israeli camp and say, I am an Israeli. And he certainly suffered because of it, but he did it because he knew it was a season that was temporary. You see, God always gives you the better. God always gives you the best. Here's what the Bible says, just a couple of verses, too good to skip over. Psalm 36, verse 8, thou shalt make them drink at the river of thy pleasures. Boy, that just makes me want to just lay back and let God take care of me right there. Here's another verse, Psalm 16, verse 11. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Proverbs 10, 22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with them. The kind of pleasure God gives don't get you woke up with a hangover. It's a pleasure with no sorrow. Psalm 68, 19. Who daily loadeth us with benefits. All right, turn with me to Luke 4. I may get through, I don't know. I was wondering there for a minute, Luke chapter 4. I'll read only one verse. I'm talking about for a season. I'm talking about time this morning. For a season means a brief moment. We have looked at the problem connected to serving and how Peter said there's heaviness. We have looked at the pleasures connected to sin. I want to end with this thought. The pressure connected to Satan. I hope you get it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The pressure connected to Satan. All these things are temporary for a season. Luke 4, 13. And when the devil ended, cease of time of what he was doing, had ended all the temptation, he departed, another word for ending, from him for a season. We understand this to be when the devil himself tempted the Lord himself and failed. And he tried three times, failed three times. He finally gave up and left. It says that he ended the temptation and departed from him. It literally means he deserted him. He gave up and left. I'm underlining my pause because I want you to hear the next word. For a season. He came back. Boy, he came back. He came back in Gethsemane. He came back at the cross. He came back. He came back. He came back for a season. I'm talking about the temptation, the pressure connected to Satan. That constant pressure, that drawing, that luring of sin and self and Satan that has its hold, its reach on every person listening to me, including me. There's a pressure. I am so thankful. There was a season in the Lord's life and with ours, believe it or not, where there is a season, a short time, where he lets us breathe. You know why he does that? Because your father tells him to. Your father says, nope, not now. Leave them alone for now. And if he didn't, the devil wouldn't let up. But, it is for a season. And that tells me, since this word season means small, brief, the times we can breathe, relax, are short and brief. Here's the big one. We don't know when. You know what that means? There ain't really ever a time we can relax our guard. Now, isn't that encouraging on Sunday morning? That the devil's going to be after you every second of the day, as far as you know. And there ain't 1 second of any day or night that you can relax because you don't know when those seasons come. That means we can't drop our guard at all, ever. You know what that does? Makes me tired again. That's why we got to trust God. That's why we got to go to Him. That's why we got to rush into His presence and say, oh God, I need you. He said that we pray that we enter not into temptation. Ask Him to help you. Trials, temptation, problems, whatever. The devil's attacking you. That pressure, that allurement, that drawing, that trying to convince you to do the wrong thing when you know it's the wrong thing. It says he ended and he quit. But listen, we don't know when that's going to happen. I do know this. When God asked the Lucifer, where you been? When he asked the devil, what you been doing? Here's what he said. From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it, I've been busy. And I also know that in 1 Peter 5:8, it says he's like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Sounds to me like he doesn't take long vacations if he does. So that means we got to stay on our guard every second. That means, I'll say it quickly, that means, number one, we need to be alert. I'm reminded of Peter. The Lord said, Satan has desired thee that he may sift you as wheat. And I want to take him by the collar and say, Peter, listen. And Peter said, my words, oh, don't worry about me. Now, these other fellows, now they may desert you, but I'm telling you right now, I'll die for you before I desert you. The Lord was warning Peter about something that was about to happen, and Peter was not alert, and he failed miserably. He wasn't alert. And the same devil that got Peter will get you and me if we let him. If we're not alert, we need to get to where we know the voice of the devil as good as the voice of our God. To where when he whispers lies to us, we say, hey, that's the devil. I'm not listening to him. I know his voice. I know his work. He's tried this before. For a season. Well, we got to make sure that we don't fall or give in because we don't know when the season is. I'll just be honest, I can't remember the last time I felt like I could take a breath and relax because the devil seemed like been on me so long, so hard, so steady. And I don't see one of them seasons in my life. There have been. I just couldn't enjoy it, I guess. Which means we got to be alert. We got to be alert. Here's what the Bible warns us. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. God uses that word carefully. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. When we think we're okay, when we think we got it made, when we think we can't fall, we are in trouble. We're going to be heading down. We got to be alert. Got to be alert. There are some things that the Lord tells us to just flee from. Don't try and stand against the devil. Don't try and resist your flesh. Get away! Flee fornication. Flee youthful lust. Flee idolatry. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:11, flee these things. There are some things that we are so susceptible to, so weak toward, we can't stand and resist. We got to run. I'm talking about being alert. Be alert. And I believe we, secondly, need to be aggressive. This is a war. This is a battle. If you halfway go into a war, you're going to lose. If you halfway go into a battle, you're going to lose. You're going to be defeated. War means putting all you have, all that you know, all that you have at work against the enemy. And we need to aggressively, here's how the Bible words it, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Resistance is a word of battlement. A word of armor, a word of resisting, of standing firm. We need to be aggressive, not play around with the devil. Then lastly, we need to be alert and aggressive. We need to be armed. Jesus said it like this. Here's what he used, the word of God. It is written. And you remember when it said he left him for a season? He did that because the Lord kept using the word of God on him. He couldn't handle it. That's our armor. That's our weapon. That's our resistance. Offensive and defensive. The Word of God. Oh, listen, devil. You're telling me to do something, but the Bible says. You're telling me to go there, but the Bible says. You're telling me to say that, but the Bible says. Use the Word of God. Oh, be armed. I've tried this morning to put out a whole bunch of different things in the Bible and put them into one lump for a season. For a season. The for a season related to Satan means that he's going to let up, but I don't know when, and I ain't going to take a chance. So it means I got to stand all the time. The for a season that deals with the pleasure of sin means the pleasure of sin so fleeting, so short, so empty compared to the joy of the rewards of an eternal heaven. To make the choice of going after sin would be unwise. And then I mentioned the problems connected to serving. We have problems. There's difficulties. It's not easy. Oh, but listen. The problems that we have are nothing compared to the joy of standing before Him and Him saying, oh, you did a good job. Well done. I got something for you. Now, how does this apply to your life? I have no idea. I have no idea. You're going to have to tie it together and put the bow on it. But I'll say this and I'm done. If you're not saved, you are gambling with a moment of time in this world. And life's over with eternity in hell. Eternity in hell. The wise thing is to call on the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and get saved. I say to us who are here and believers, there are things that are short-lived in this world. The pleasures of sin, the problems we face, and even the temptation and trials of the devil. So what we should do is just walk with God. Give Him our all. And let Him take care of it, and one day we'll be glad we did. Let's stand together. I'm done.